We're so glad you've chosen to be with us today for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Luann Crane. And Ryan, yesterday we heard from the late Dr. Adrian Rogers as he talked with our host about the content of his book, 10 Secrets for a Successful Family.
Well, a successful family is a goal every parent has, Luann. And Dr. Rogers is the founder of the radio and television ministry called Love Worth Finding. He was also a pastor for over five decades, as well as the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He went home to be with the Lord in 2005 at the age of 74.
You know, Ryan, in the introduction for this book, Dr. Rogers wrote, and I quote, "My heart's desire is that my family will love God and love one another. While they're doing it, they'll be an example to bring this lost world to Jesus Christ." But today, all of the artillery of hell seems to be aimed at the nuclear family. Humanism, relativism, materialism, hedonism. This book is written to give the family some weapons for the warfare. End quote. And I might just add that this broadcast right here is designed to do the same, Ryan.
Well, Dr. Rogers added, "The chief weapon in our arsenal is truth that brings a fixed standard for right and wrong. And that truth is encapsulated in the Ten Commandments." So let's pick up the conversation with our host, Dr. James Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, let's talk about the Ten Commandments specifically, Adrian. Let's talk about your book, The 10 Secrets for a Successful Family. Your book is built around the Ten Commandments specifically, which parents should teach to their children, and we've been talking about that. The first one in Exodus 23 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Mm-hmm. Now, we don't worship sun gods and moon gods and all the rest of that today. How do you tell a child what that means?
I think that's very interesting. But by the way, you know, we're getting more through these esoteric type of board games and so forth. These demon gods are coming in, and these kids now are being pulled away into these kind of things and New Ageism and Hinduism. And there are some false gods that are coming in. And we used to say, well, in America, that's not our problem. But it is becoming more and more of our
problem. Saturday morning television.
Morning television, these godlike figures that are coming
gargoyles in. Gargoyles and things of that nature. Not only godlike, but wicked, evil things.
Put those gargoyles on the building and keep the demons out. I thought, man, they may be going a different direction. America abounds with idols. They just may be made of chrome and fiberglass and stainless steel and these things. But anything that a man loves or fears more than God, serves more than God, or honors more than God. And you can find out really what a man's God is by looking at two things. Look at his date book, look at his checkbook. And you just see, you know, really where his God is.
There's a third one, and that's what his tongue wags about.
Right.
You talk about what you care about.
That's right. We have a saying, Shirley's always talking to me about these Southern sayings, but I have a saying in the South, was down in the well comes up in the bucket.
That's good.
What a man talks about, you can tell where his heart is.
The second commandment, Exodus 24, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below."
Again, we don't have so many graven images. But, you know, I got to thinking about that as it relates to kids. And I you know what's the problem in America today with the kids? I think we have too many idols and not enough heroes. And, you know, we've got movie idols and sports idols and all of this. Where have the heroes gone? What happened? How did we lose heroes and suddenly get idols? And so I'm saying what we need are some more flesh and blood heroes and fewer
role models.
Yeah. And fewer flesh and blood idols.
The third commandment, Exodus 27, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Now, I got to tell you, Adrian, this is one that bothers me because I hear people that I know love the Lord using his name in a loose or disrespectful way and don't think anything of it. I think we need to remember this one.
Yeah, the King James says not to take it in vain, you know, and I talked about taking the name in vanity or taking the name in victory, because that goes back to the positive and the negative. So when he is saying, don't take my name in vain, then on the other hand, think of the incredible power in the name of Almighty God. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time to teach children the names of God, because the Bible says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I think that when we speak God's name, there ought to be such a holy awe and a reverence.
Again, Adrian, I agree so strongly with that, and especially for parents who are out there, because their kids are absolutely saturated in a culture that expresses disrespect for God today.
Yes.
They hear it in the neighborhood. They hear it on television. They hear Christian people say these things. They hear it at school. They hear it everywhere. And I think that a proper relationship with God begins with understanding His holiness and His reverence. And, you know, He created the universe. He is not just the man upstairs. He's not the great chauffeur in the sky. The universe has a boss.
It has a boss.
God is the boss. And we need to treat Him with that kind of dignity and reverence. And I think you need to start with a 2 or 3 or 4 year old and express sadness when you do hear on television somebody use Jesus' name in vain or God's name in vain.
Absolutely.
And to really lean on that one, because out of that comes an understanding of who He is and what our obligations are before Him. You agree with that?
I do. I said in the book what we tried to teach, Joyce and I tried to teach our children, is first of all, they are to bear the name. You see, that's the positive side of not taking His name in vain. And the Bible teaches that that God has three books. He has the book of Revelation, that's the Bible. He has the book of redemption, that's the Lamb's book of life. And then He has a book of remembrance. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Then they that love the Lord spoke often of His name, and the Lord heard it, and He hearkened. And a book of remembrance was written for those that thought upon His name." So the big question is, when everything comes to an end, will your name be called or will your number be up?
There's that Southern wisdom again. Number 4, Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Yeah. Well, that perhaps was the most enjoyable chapter in the book that I wrote, because this is where most of us are having the most trouble today. Sunday has become the weekend for so many of us. And we said there are three things, really, about the Lord's Day that we have tried to practice in our family. Number one, make it a holy day. It is God's day. Make it a happy day. Just let Sunday, the Lord's Day, be the best day for our children. And then last of all, make it a healthy day.
When I was a kid, it was a boring day.
Yeah, and that's wrong. It ought to be the best day of the week. Our kids would wake up, and I'd hear Joyce singing, and I won't ruin this program by singing, but she'd be singing a song called Happy Sunday Morning. And to make it a wonderful day, the best meal on Sunday, the most fun, the best company, just a lot of laughing, but praying, and always in the house of God.
Well, number 5, Exodus 20:12, is another one that is badly needed in our culture at this time. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord has given to you. That's the only commandment with a promise attached to it.
That's right. And, you know, if you want to be healthy and live a long life, honor your father and your mother. And by the way, all of these commandments are wonderful tools for parents. It's one thing for parents to say, "Now, you do this because I said so." Well, very frankly, that doesn't cut it very often, because they say, "Well, so somebody else said something else, and you're just a man with a pair of trousers on." But if you can say, "Darling, here's what God says," that gives you so much more ammunition in your arsenal. And have you noticed how many films today, situational comedies, put down, make fun of the parents, and especially the father,
and allow the kids to be sassy to them?
I've never
believed in that, and I don't believe in it now.
Coming over here on the airplane, there was a movie being shown. I don't know what it was all about, but the kids had commandeered. They'd taken over the house for some reason. I don't know what it was all about, but listeners will know who've seen the movie. But we need to teach our children just to say, God says to honor your parents, but on the other hand, we need to be honorable. I want my kids to honor me because I am worthy of honor. Now, they ought to do it whether I am or not, but I want them to know that Daddy is an honorable man. And so in the book, we mention some ways that parents can so live in front of their children that the children will want to honor them. How do we relate to them?
Respect goes two ways.
It really does.
Number six, you shall not murder, Exodus 20:13.
Mm-hmm. To teach a respect for life. And, of course, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not kill animals for food. The Bible is not against capital punishment. As a matter of fact, I believe the Bible clearly teaches capital punishment, Genesis 9:6. But we need to teach a respect for life, and I guess this is probably the most pertinent in our generation of all the commandments. You wouldn't think that you'd have to teach little children that babies ought not to be killed in the mother's womb, or that old folks ought not to be killed with a needle, but that has to be taught. But the respect for life, to teach them to love life, again, positively, what did Jesus say? He said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So it's not, the negative is don't kill. What is the positive of that negative that we were talking about a while back? That is to have a vibrant, abundant, overflowing, joyful life that we have in the Lord Jesus.
Sanctity of life fits under that. Francis Schaeffer made the point 20 years ago that there is a connection between abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia. And you allow one, you'll have the other two, because we're violating this commandment.
And it is coming so fast, it is frightening. And because it goes back again, there is no anchor. And those sailors in Plato's Republic, they put the lantern on the bow and steered by that. And that's what we have our generation doing. There is not a fixed standard of right or wrong. That's the reason we must call the nation back to these commandments, by calling the family back to these commandments, by getting the dad to say, all right, I'm going to be the daddy that God wanted me to be. And that doesn't mean he's just clubbing kids with the Ten Commandments. That'll backfire on him.
Well, number seven, Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. That's a tough one to talk about to children, certainly.
I think that definitely they need to see modeled a happy family where daddy loves mama and where daddy smooches mama and where mama sits on daddy's lap. And I know the other day I had Joyce in a real tight clasp in the kitchen, and our little grandkids walked in and they stood there for a while and looked and kind of shrugged and walked out. But I thought, you know, that's more than a Sunday school lesson. Yeah. To see that one man loves one woman with all of his heart, and to let them see again the healthy. I think that a man in his relationship to his wife, just like to the Lord's Day, ought to have a healthy and a happy and a holy sexual attitude. Never, ever be afraid to talk to these kids about sex. God is not trying to keep sex from us. He's trying to keep sex for us. That is God's precious, wonderful gift. And so God has put some high walls around it to protect it. And the vandals have torn down the walls and gone in there and desecrated God's work of art. And these kids that talk about going all the way, that's the one thing they don't do. They don't go all the way. You haven't gone all the way until you make a commitment of a lifetime commitment to a person. And two bodies are blended when two spirits are blended and two souls are blended. And that's what God intended. And I say, oh, don't mess it up. But again, I want to say a word to anybody who may be listening. We're not here to heap guilt on. You know, God is a God of a second chance, and he is a God that forgives. And you always walk that razor's edge of trying to keep kids from messing something up. And then on the other hand, to say some young person will say, well, I've already blown it. So what? Makes no difference. God gives a fresh start. Thank God for that.
Yeah, and also, Adrian, you and I didn't write this.
No, that's
you
right.
Know, we did after write all, it. God no. did it.
We're the
he
Western
put it
Union.
In there.
We're the Western Union boy. Don't blame
that's
us.
Right.
That's right.
Number eight, Exodus 20:15, you shall not steal.
Yes, sir.
What would you say?
Well, again, how do you model that? You know, when you're taking things that don't belong to you, most of us are not going to go out and rob banks, and most of the people are not in the business of pilfering or stealing, I hope. But there's more than one way to steal. You know, I think so often about these, what I call fuzzbuster dads. They've got these things on their car dashboard so that they can drive faster than the speed limit. But when the policeman is there, then
radar
they slow
detector.
Down. Radar detectors, yeah. And I said, well, now what are you saying to that child about basic honesty when he sees dad do that? He's saying dad thinks that those rules are not made for him. And how does that transfer? How does that compute? And boy, I get myself under, you know, I get myself
under
conviction.
Yeah, you've gone to meddling now.
No, I really have gone to meddling. But every now and then I say to myself, Adrian, how are you going to be a man over with authority in your home if you cannot be learn to be under the authorities that God has set over you? And I have to keep re-preaching myself that lesson.
Number 9, Exodus 20:16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Or as King James says, bear false witness against your neighbor.
Well, again, let's take that and look at it again from the positive side. What does that say? That means we are to testify to our neighbor and for our neighbor and take the side of the downtrodden. Take the side of the person that has no one to speak up for them. And so many times we've told kids now, don't tell a lie. Don't perjure yourself. Don't bear false witness. And that is true. But again, go back and remember that for every negative, there's a positive. But there's one thing, about three things, Jim, that I would not allow with our kids. And absolute one is disrespect, and especially disrespect for Joyce. I'd be on them like a duck on a June bug if they lip off to their mama. And the second thing that is strong disobedience. I'm talking about defiant disobedience. And the third is dishonesty. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me a lie. Those are the deadly D's. I mean, you know, just don't do that. And they've not been perfect, but they know that they are to tell the truth. Now, I'd not be so naive as to think they never lied to me. You know, they might use that little proverb, a lie is a very, very present help in time of trouble.
Number 10, Exodus 20:17 deals with coveting. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, and so on.
Yes, but how many kids even know what covet means? It's a word that we just fallen out of usage today. As a matter of fact, Madison Avenue is built. Millions of dollars are made to teach people to be dissatisfied. And then the Bible says, you know, if we got food and raiment to be content, doesn't even say we have to have a roof over our head. Jesus didn't. He did have to have something to eat and something to wear.
And covetousness means jealousy and envy and dissatisfaction over what you have and wanting what the other people have.
It's not a desire. There's nothing wrong with wanting something. It is wanting more than somebody else, or wanting what somebody else has, or saying, if I don't have it, I can't be happy.
Or I resent you because you have it and I don't.
I resent you because you have it. And you can covet somebody's personality, their mind, their ministry. I'm afraid that some preachers are envious of somebody else's ministry even.
We're talking about the book, 10 Secrets for a Successful Family, Dr. Adrian Rogers, who has walked us through the Ten Commandments. Adrian, the word convicts. You can't read it without being convicted.
Right.
And even though we've dealt with these commandments with a light hand, there are people listening to us today who see sin in their lives, you know, who see that they've contradicted the fundamentals that the Lord has given. They don't have to live in that kind of conflict with God the Father, do they?
No, they don't. And the law does not save us, and we can't lift ourselves to heaven by being good. Nobody can behave himself into heaven. And where we fail, and we all have, you know, the Bible says if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. But there is mercy with our Lord. There is grace. And somebody says justice is God giving us what we deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And grace is God giving us what we don't deserve.
And
so God just says, I will account you righteous when you receive my Son, the Lord Jesus, and say, Lord Jesus, you died for me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you paid my sin debt with your blood on the cross. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And right now, by faith, I receive you once and for all, now and forever, into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Then it's settled. And then the righteousness of the law begins to be fulfilled in you by the Lord Jesus.
Adrian, there are a lot of people listening to us for whom life has kind of unraveled, and it hasn't gone the way they expected.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the misery that comes with a sinful life where you've mm-hmm. contradicted these principles, and then you've paid the price for it. There are a lot of people out there like that
mm-hmm.
who haven't known where to turn, mm-hmm. haven't known who to talk to, haven't known how to get rid of the guilt that's mm-hmm. inside, have longed to know the truth about God, but really don't know where to get it. There's so much misinformation out there. And that individual is riding along in a car or is, you know, at home today and is just saying, where do I turn? You've got an answer for that person.
Yes. You know, the Bible says not only will he pardon, the Bible says he will abundantly pardon. Oh, he just longs to pardon. The only time you ever saw God in a hurry in the Bible is in the parable of the prodigal son who had been away from home. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and had compassion, fell on his neck and kissed him, said, rejoice, my son has come home. And if somebody is listening today, that's the way God feels toward you. And that parable that Jesus told, that father who was receiving that son who'd been down in the hog pen, that's a picture of God. And he is waiting now with open arms, and he's only a prayer away. God does not hold grudges. He will abundantly pardon. And that's the great thing. You know, Jim, we have a wonderful Savior.
Oh, we do?
Oh, I love him. I love him. And I'm so grateful that we can talk about him.
Why don't you lead in prayer for that person out there? Mm. You know, I'm more keenly aware than ever that this program goes out across the airways. There are people driving to work. They don't go to church. They don't have any background. They weren't raised in a Christian home. They have no idea where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listening to us right now, almost by accident. They heard a friendly voice and they stopped on a dial. Okay. Would you pray for that individual?
Yes, and I want to say to that individual in that car, in that kitchen, wherever you are, God knows your name, and he knows I'm praying for you right now. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that this prayer transcends time and space. And Lord, by faith now, I am lifting to you precious people, some who've just said, I've blown it. I don't deserve mercy, but I need it. Oh, God, bless these ones. And Lord, I just pray with your tender mercy, even now, Lord, you would draw these up close to you. Lord, thank you that there is abundant pardon. And Lord, I pray that moms and dads who feel that they've just failed with their kids would know, dear Lord, that there are no perfect parents and no perfect kids. And that they would just come to you one more time, Lord, and let you give them an infusion of strength and love and a new start. And if there's somebody out there, and I know there must be, who's never really trusted you, Lord, help them right now, this moment, to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin and save me. Bless, dear Lord, these for whom we pray in the name of Jesus. The strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian. The Lord bless that prayer. And I would really like to hear from people who prayed that prayer along with us. Three things you need to do now. Get into a good church that believes in the Bible. Get into the Word yourself. And get into a Bible study group with people who know the Lord who can help disciple you and lead you. Adrian, it's always a pleasure to do business with you. And I just thank you for what you stand for.
Jim, thank you. It's been a joy. This has been a lot of fun.
And in the spirit of honoring my dad's request on this Family Talk broadcast with our special guest, Dr. Adrian Rogers, if you prayed that prayer today, we absolutely want to hear from you.
That's right. You can connect with us at drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, or even by calling us at 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825. You know, we would consider it an honor to talk with you about your decision or even pray with you.
And if you'd like to get a copy of Dr. Rogers' book, again, the title is 10 Secrets for a Successful Family. You can find that at drjamesdobson.org. We sincerely hope this broadcast today was an encouragement and a help to you and your family.
And we do thank you for spending this part of your day with us. Have a wonderful weekend with your family, and we'll see you right back here on Monday as we kick off our special emphasis on the sanctity of human life with an interview with acclaimed Christian artist Ron DeCiani.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.